You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is Monday the 4th of January 2021. This is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, Bitcoin hitting a record level and the markets start the new year on the front foot. But first, let's talk house prices, because despite the pandemic, the guys at CoreLogic say that capital city house prices rose 2% in 2020 or 0.9% in December. But regional areas outperformed, up 6.9% in 2020 and up 1.6% in December. For more, here is CoreLogic Head of Research, Tim Lawless.
Trend in regional markets has been fueled by a whole bunch of different factors. Of course, working from home has added a newfound popularity to regional markets. But beyond that, regional markets have generally been much more affordable. They're lower density, and I think a lot of Australians are looking for lower density housing options with the pandemic so fresh in their minds. And there's also the lifestyle elements to consider as well, with a lot of the regional markets offering up some lifestyle dividends. So in many ways, we've seen increased demand in regional markets really pushing prices higher against a backdrop of quite low supply levels.
Tim Lawless there from CoreLogic. Now, all capital cities except one saw an increase in value. So if we go around the country, this is for the month of December. Sydney rose 0.7%, Melbourne up 1%, Brisbane 1.1%, along with Adelaide and Perth. Hobart increased 0.7% in December, Darwin 2.3%, and Canberra 0.6%. Now, for the year, the best performer was Darwin, up 9%. It's followed by Canberra, 7.5%, then Hobart, 6.1%. Adelaide increased in value by 5.9%. Brisbane increased by 3.6%. Sydney, 2.7% increase last year. Perth up by 1.9%. And Melbourne, though, decreased by 1.3%. So, where to now for property prices, and what are the risks, especially as government stimulus measures start to unwind? Once again, here is Tim Lawless.
The fiscal stimulus from the federal government has been a significant factor in propping up housing demand and supporting the economy, of course. So that is a key risk. As we do start to see less government spending and less support, it does mean the economy is being left to its own devices. Potentially, we could see some of these measures extended further, but that really depends on what happens with COVID and whether or not we can contain the virus as well as what we were late last year. Of course, other risks come back to when are we going to open up international borders? We know that a lot of housing demand in Australia does come from temporary and permanent migrants coming into Australia. And of course, another key risk comes back to the virus itself. We know through 2020, anytime there was a virus induced lockdown, housing markets did respond very quickly in stalling. Values did fall, but quickly rebounded along with activity as restrictions were eased.
It's been a great new year for the Australian share market, up by more than 1%. So I suppose some of it is catch up, because on the last day of 2020, the Aussie share market actually saw a loss of more than 1%, while the US stock market on the last trading day of the year rose 0.6% to a new record high. We're also seeing markets around the region doing well. The Korean Kospi is up around about 2%, the Shanghai Composite up about 1%, while the US futures are looking mixed. So a good start and pretty much great across the board.
And where did the gains come from today?
We're seeing every single sector trading higher, but by far the strongest sector on the market is the material sector. We are seeing the miners doing well, in particular the iron ore miners, on the back of a recovery in iron ore prices in Chinese prices. On the flip side, the worst performing sector is actually the tech sector. It's still up 0.3%, but lagging the strong gains we are seeing on the market. And in terms of individual stocks, the best performer in terms of the top 200 is Silver Lake, which is a gold company on the back of higher gold prices. The worst performing today is Link, with one of its bidders pulling out of buying a lucrative part of its business.
Now, given the latest Sydney outbreak concerns, we've had rising COVID numbers globally. Why aren't investors focusing on that?
When we're looking at the share market or investing, there's this constant struggle between the short term and the long term. And in the short term, in many places around the world, the COVID-19 situation looks very stark. But the market is forward-looking, so it's all about what things will look like in the next 12 months. And it's likely that this year is going to be a year of recovery as well as vaccine rollouts. And that hope is really leading the market to make new gains. And in the case of the US stock market, new record highs.
What do you see as the major market moving events as we start the year, and what should we keep an eye on?
What's driving the market at the moment is ultra low interest rates and stimulus. So both of those things are going to be important, in particular US policy. Now, we've heard over in the US they'll be handing out checks of $600 a person, and there's hopes that that will increase to $2,000 a person. So that's one thing to watch out for. But this year is also likely to be the strongest growth that we've seen in many decades. And this is all on the back of that rebound from the recession we had last year from COVID-19. So no doubt you're going to be hearing the words synchronized global growth, a term that we haven't really heard since 2007. So this will be a strong year in terms of economic growth.
Now, I know it's not really equities, Julia, but Bitcoin hit nearly $35,000, right? It's up around 36% since Christmas. It's really boomed over the past few months. What do investors like you think about this cryptocurrency?
When you're looking at something like cryptocurrencies, where you're not really manufacturing a product, it's probably more similar to a currency. And in terms of a currency, there's always a losing currency and a winning currency. At the moment, the losing currency is the US currency, and the US currency is weak against all the major currencies around the globe, and is a key reason why the Aussie dollar is past 77 US cents at the moment. There's an extra element to cryptocurrency, and that's the speculative side. So as you see demand for cryptocurrency come through, buyers drive up the price, and that buying demand at the moment on the back of a lack of confidence around fiat currencies, especially the US currency, is driving these big gains.
Julia Lee there from Berman Invest. Now, for more on Bitcoin, I spoke earlier with Asher Tan in London. He is the CEO of Melbourne-based CoinJar, a cryptocurrency exchange. Asher, why the sudden increase in Bitcoin lately?
Well, obviously, the coronavirus has wreaked havoc on markets, and investors are looking for safe haven assets such as gold, US-denominated assets and bonds, and Bitcoin included.
Is it becoming more mainstream, do you think?
Yeah, I think with the inclusion of Bitcoin by big financial companies such as PayPal, emerging fintechs as well incorporating Bitcoin. While Bitcoin may not be totally mainstream yet, I think companies are more and more adopting Bitcoin either as an asset or as a service to their users.
Now, what do you view as the risks to owning Bitcoin?
Definitely, we've seen a full pullbacks in the Bitcoin price. Owning Bitcoin also, just like any asset, has its own intrinsic risks, but it's more used as an asset right now. So, you know, just like any asset, there are the risks associated with the asset.
And what do you expect to happen with its value? Because we have seen a sudden increase in its value back in 2018, and then it fell almost just as hard. Do you expect there to be a sharp pullback?
Yeah, we've seen pullbacks in the past. I would say in terms of customer adoption and interest right now, it's still a fraction of what it was back in the 2016-2017 run-up. So I think there is still a bit to go before we see one. But I think that's part and parcel of this industry, quick growth spurts throughout its history.
Asher Tan there, the CEO of CoinJar. Finally, there are concerns that the Northern Beaches COVID shutdown in Sydney and the growing clusters around the city will hit economic growth. For more on that, I spoke earlier with Warren Hogan. He is the founder of EQ Economics. Warren, first of all, how important is Greater Sydney to the national economy?
Well, it's about 25% of the overall Australian economy, which is essentially the same as the whole of Victoria. So this is the biggest sort of part of the Australian economy, Greater Sydney.
If a lockdown does happen because of the recent COVID outbreak, what do you think it'll mean for state and national growth?
Look, if we go into a severe lockdown, something like what we saw in Victoria, stage four, or what we're seeing in the UK now, then it will be have severe implications for economic activity right across the country. I think we're talking 2 or 3 percentage point decline in GDP at least. I mean, this will obviously be somewhat dependent on the government policy response, which one would expect. But it would be severe. It would definitely be a major setback, if not the start of a new recession.
Yeah, to what extent could it lead to that double dip recession?
Yeah, well, I mean, recessions are defined as two quarters of negative GDP in a row, and that's actually quite unlikely. What we're seeing with the pandemic is severe short downturns. I mean, the recession in 2020 was 7 weeks, really. So look, if you want a double dip recession, two quarters of growth, it's unlikely. And, you know, it really probably would be most dependent on the international scene, which isn't great. I mean, the US and the European economies are likely to experience a double dip. And the one part of the world that's doing well, China, is locking us out of their markets. So there is a challenging global scene, but I think this is more likely, if it deteriorates, to sort of be a short, sharp downturn in Q1 and a bounce back in Q2.
At this stage, though, right, what are the numbers telling you, and are we likely to see growth given the current containment in cases that we're seeing?
Yeah, so we don't have a lot of data in the last few weeks. A lot of the high-frequency data providers are off having some summer holidays. But what we do know is up until the start of the Avalon cluster, the economy was doing extremely well. It was really building strong momentum right up into December.
That is Warren Hogan there from EQ Economics. That is SBS On The Money for this Monday, the 4th of January 2020. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.